If you have your Bibles, be turning to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. We are looking at Jesus and knowing Jesus from a Jewish perspective. We're seeking, by reading the Gospel of Matthew, written to the Jews, we are able to understand Jesus from that perspective in a better way to help us know him. When you think of hard hearts, who do you think about? Well, probably the first thing you think about is Pharaoh. Book of Exodus, his heart was hard. Or maybe you think of criminals like Timothy McVeigh, the Oklahoma City bomber, 1995, who killed 168 people on that terrible day. Or maybe you think about atheists like Richard Dawkins, who is probably the most proponent person that talks about it the most in the media. But I want to suggest to you today that hard hearts are most often found in the church. In fact, I would dare to say that there are more hard hearts among Christians than there are among a lot of people in the world that we would think are not following God in their lives. This is not an easy message to hear today, and I'm here to tell you that it's already gone through me, and I've done a lot of spring cleaning this week myself. So please hear, understand today, this is a message for all of us that I think we will benefit from the Lord. As we come to Matthew chapter 15, the Pharisees are becoming more and more on this very prominent in challenging Jesus. Pharisees falsely believed that the more perfect your outward obedience was, the more righteous you would be in God's sight. In other words, you had to earn God's favor and you had to do everything right outwardly. That was their premise. So this caused them to add hundreds of man-made additions to the already existing 613 Old Testament laws. And what we looked in chapter 12, when we were in chapter 12, we looked at one of the first incidences when they challenged him about the Sabbath. Okay? In the Ten Commandments, when God says don't do any work on the Sabbath, I mean, that's what it means. Unfortunately, they added 39 more additions to it that are not from God, that were man-made. And these additions became even more authoritative than the actual Word of God itself. So you see, there's a problem here. They are taking God's Word and adding to it, and they are saying that is more important or authoritative than the actual Word of God itself. So we come to Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, and listen to these words. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." Now, we all wash our hands before we eat. We do that because our hands are dirty. In the Jewish time of the first century, and especially among the Pharisees, the issue about washing hands was about being ritually pure enough to worship God. And it was common. When you entered the temple, everyone washed their hands. It was a part of ritual purity to kind of signify that. Unfortunately, the Pharisees added more rules to this. Okay, God was trying to show them, come to me clean. Okay, and the way to do that is wash my hands. Now they're saying they added more things to it. And basically what these Pharisees are asking Jesus here in verse 2 is, why aren't your disciples following protocol here? We're eating, we're about ready to eat some food, and they're not washing their hands. What's going on here? Look in verse 3. Look how Jesus responds. He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father.' So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching doctrines that are the commandments of men.'" This idea of taking a gift that is devoted to God, what Jesus is challenging the Pharisees about is the Pharisees believed that if you took a vow, for example, to give money to the temple, all right, this legally, they believed in the eyes of God, exempted you from helping your aging parents. So Jesus challenges them with this idea, like, what are you guys thinking? Are you crazy? You're a bunch of hypocrites. Not only do you put your traditions before the authority of God's word, you love your man-made rules more than your own parents. Very strong words. And I want you to notice something about Jesus. He is never, ever afraid to confront hypocrisy. He is never afraid to confront truth and bring truth into our lives. Every denomination has its traditions, okay? We in the churches of Christ and our attempt to be, to speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible, we've argued about things, about dress, about order of worship, about time, about dancing, playing cards, mixed swimming, songbooks, playing recorded music in worship, quartets, what church buildings can have and what they cannot have, Christmas trees, who can pass out the Lord's Supper, instrumental music, women's role. And we impose these traditions upon people as if it had the same authority as the Word of God. And meanwhile, a lost world goes to hell all around us. But oh, we've got to keep the traditions, don't we? I think we as a body of Christ need to re-examine what church is. Amen. And what it should be about. Traditions suffocate people. And if they're not the Word of God, then we really need to look at, okay, what are we doing here? Is it really pleasing to God? That's really the bottom line. Am I the kind of worshiper God seeks? Does God have my heart? Or am I thinking about the ball game today? Am I thinking about the steakhouse I'm going to? The only people Jesus ever gets angry with in Scripture are not the prostitute, are not the tax collector. They are self-righteous religious hypocrites. Why? Because they loved doctrine, they loved their traditions more than they love people. Do we? Are we all about keeping the traditions that we would keep somebody from Christ? I hope not. Do ragamuffins, do the people who are broken feel comfortable around us? They sure felt comfortable around Jesus. So when I see the homeless and the hungry and the prostitute and the tattooed guy, the addict, how do I respond to them? Do they feel comfortable around me? Jesus Christ did not take Roman nails in his feet and wrists to create social clubs where we could be smug in our self-righteousness. This is not about a social club. This is a living organism called a church that is supposed to be able to reach out into the community, to every person we meet, and they see Christ in us, and they see, I want what you have. See, Jesus died for that reason, so that we can make a difference in the world around us. I think all of us in this room want to make a difference. And you have that power. You've got it in your hand. You've got it. It's the gospel. It's the truth of Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, what makes us right with God is faith. It is not keeping traditions. Dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's, it is faith that makes us right with God. And for God, it's always been an issue of the heart. And we had messed things up so much, by the time Jesus comes, he's like, guys, you've missed the whole point when my father said, do not murder. He's talking about inwardly too, because you can inwardly murder people with your words, with your anger. He's not just talking about physical adultery being wrong. He's talking about lusting too. Because if you get the inside right, the outside follows. So for God, the issue has always been and always will be the heart. And our problem is our hearts are sick. They're sinful. And this is why Jesus says we need to be born again of the water and the Spirit. We need a rebirth within us. I can't change my life. You can't change yours. You can't make a sick heart well. You need the Holy Spirit that Ezekiel prophesied about. That new birth to create within us something brand new, transform us. And that's the wonderful news today, that God can take your heart, your sinful heart, my sick heart, and He can create something new, transform us. God has that power to transform your life. Say amen. Amen. Are you awake this morning? Yes. He has power to transform your life. Power. If we will just let Him in. Look what He says in verses 18 through 20. Challenging the Pharisees, he says, guys, it's not an issue here of whether your hands are clean or not. The issue God's looking at is your heart. Because look what He says in verse 18. What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. Ah. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. When was the last time you were in court and somebody was standing on trial for what was going on inside their heart? You won't see it. Because what we judge in courtrooms is what people have done on the outside. There's the truth that I want you to understand today. The evil of our hearts cannot be purified by keeping traditions, by being religious. We cannot fix our sin problem by performing some ritual each week. And all of our attempts to make ourselves righteous by rule-keeping, you know, it makes us hypocrites. So get off the bandwagon that says, I'm gonna get it all right on the outside, because you got to get the inside right first. Look what He says in verses 7 and 8. 7, 8, and 9. Isaiah's prophecy, spoken 700 years before Jesus comes. People then were struggling with the same problem the Pharisees were. These people honor me with their lips, but notice what's far from God. It's the heart. The heart's far from me. You sing the songs, you say the amen, you pray, but your hearts are far from me, He says. Ladies, which would you rather have in your husband? Would you rather him bring roses on your anniversary out of duty? Or because your husband delights to show devotion to you? I think that's a no-brainer. Amen, ladies? You don't want some guy saying, well, I'm supposed to do this, here you go. It's because of devotion. So why are we here today? Is it because of duty? Is it because, well, I just had to go today? Or is there some devotion in your heart to the Almighty? Have you ever thought that maybe, just maybe, we don't feel close to God because our hearts are hard? We've closed God off in our hearts. Jesus says we can go to church, we can attend every Bible class, we can serve and help in the community, sing all the songs, and yet still have the hardest heart towards God and towards people. We can get it all right here. But who am I when I go home? Who am I when at the office? Who am I in Walmart? am I still reflecting what I speak about? Because really, Christianity is lived out there, not in here, as much as it is out there. And so why do hard-hearted people generally like legalism? What does it attract people? It's because it's measurable. You know, I can sit there and say, well, I've prayed today. I've done the five acts of worship. I've read my Bible. I'm right with God. And it's so easy because we can sit and compare ourselves to other people instead of dealing with what's in our hearts. Because our hearts are the problem. And that's what God is after in each of us. A heart transplant. A heart change. Christianity is so much more than going to church. It's an active living relationship with the living God every day, and it's an issue of the heart with Him. So how do I know if my heart is hard? How do I know if my heart is hard? I refuse correction from God and from people. When you hear a message or you hear a sermon, you hear a class or you're reading scripture for yourself and you see something and you realize I need to correct this. No, I'm not going to do that. And I hate to say this, but it's really the truth. God created marriage to make us holy, and your spouse is there to help you become more Christ-like. And if you're like me, when I sometimes refuse to listen to my wife, I am cutting off the opportunity to grow in Christ-likeness. Because when I refuse to be corrected, I am teaching her and I'm teaching the world much about myself. That my heart is hard. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates corrections is stupid. Don't you like how God just kind of gets to the point? Whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home among the wise. Those who disregard discipline despise themselves. Interesting. But the one who heeds correction gains understanding. Yeah, understanding about yourself that you wouldn't have gained otherwise. How many times has the Holy Spirit convicted us about a particular sin in our lives, yet we refuse to change? The more we refuse, the harder our hearts become. The true test of humility is your willingness to be corrected by God and by others. Wow, I don't like that. Because I don't like to be corrected, do you? But often when I'm being corrected, it's being done out of love, thinking about my best interest. And I think we need to see it from that perspective instead of becoming so defensive when we are corrected. Another way to know that your heart is becoming hard is you're resistant to changing your ways. Kind of ties in with the first, but it's a different slant. How many sermons, how many classes have we heard, yet we do nothing with them? That was a great lesson, brother. Oh, some convicting words today, bro. What are we going to do with it? It's kind of pointless to sit here and listen to me yip-yap, and you come to your Bible classes and hear them yip-yap for 2 or 3 hours and then go home and not do anything with it. Isn't that kind of silly? I need to ask myself, what am I going to do with this? And I got reflecting this week. I've never thought of it from this perspective, but when I am resistant to change, when I hear God's word and I don't do anything with it, I'm no different than the Pharaoh. We all say, boy, that guy was hard-hearted. What about me? What about me? do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. You know, what's dangerous in being a preacher is you can listen to your words as well and not heed them. And I pray that as I teach, you know, that's one of the first things I think about. What am I going to do with this? Listening to God's word. What are we going to do with what God's given us? Another proof of a hard heart is pride. You notice how it's interesting the word sin and the word pride all have I as the center. I never noticed that before. Pride in four simple sentences is this: I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't need God. I can do it myself. It's all about me anyway. Look at what I have done. Those are examples of pride. And when we have pride, you know the heart is hard. And I think that's why God opposes it so much. Because God can't work through pride. If life doesn't humble you, God will humble you. When the pride is there, believe me, He loves us too much not to sit back and deal with our pride. So how do I know if my heart is hard? I refuse correction from God and from others. I'm resistant to change. I'm full of pride. And this last one, there's no weeping over sins or the sins of others. When you sin, what happens? What is your thinking like? I know for me, for many years, it was just like I was reporting sin to God rather than repenting of it. Oh, God, I want to let you know I did this today. Just wanted you to know about it. Forgive me. Instead of really thinking about, what have I done here? I think what happens in our culture today is that we have become so desensitized to sin. The talk shows glorify it. The media glorifies it. We constantly hear it all the time. And when we see the sins of others, we just become like, whatever. Tolerant, apathetic. Whereas someone whose heart is soft and heart is broken for God, they're going to weep over the sins of our nation. They're going to weep when they see people struggling and falling into different types of sin. I think you know you're growing in your walk with God when you realize how fast do you want to make things right with Him and with the person that or people that you've offended. Something to think about. So what should we do when we realize we have a hard heart? What does God want us to do? I think there has to be some genuine heartfelt repentance first. You know, the word repentance means a change of mind that leads to the feet. I stop going this way and I make a 180 and I start going God's way again. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. Notice how there's a contrast. Godly sorrow, worldly sorrow. What's the difference? Well, real simply, it's this. Godly sorrow is a genuine sorrow for what you did. Psalm 51 with David. There's a genuineness to it. Worldly sorrow is, I'm sorry I got caught. Saul is a good example of that. And you say, you know what, there's sometimes I don't feel sorry to God for what I've done. You know what, you can ask for it. You can ask God for godly sorrow. You can ask the Lord to say, Lord, help me see this sin from your perspective. Help me soften my heart to help me see. So true repentance involves a change of mind and it leads to action. There's a confession, there is genuine sorrow over it. That's when there has been genuine repentance. some of us picture God as this, when we talk about repentance and sin and we talk about confessing, I think a lot of us see God as an authority figure who is always disappointed in us. I know there's people in this room, you were raised in a very difficult home, your parents were very strict, you felt like you never could do anything right, and you always felt like you disappointed them. You thought, if they're like this, what is God like? And I'm here to tell you today that the Father does not love you or me based upon our performance. He loves you because of your identity. You're His child. And to see God in any other light will lead you to legalism, will lead you to try to make Christianity nothing but a bunch of rules and regulations. The Father is not, I like that picture of that guy with that little child. That's a precious picture. That's how you should see God. Secondly, the thing we can do when our hearts are hard is to humble ourselves before God. Now, Jesus said, everyone who exalts himself shall be. I didn't hear everybody. Say that again. Everyone who exalts himself shall be humble. And he who humbles himself shall be. Well, how about that? That's a powerful principle. Jesus says it many times in Scripture. Humbling ourselves before God. You and I need a Savior today just as much as we did at the day of our baptism. You and I need mercy and grace today just as much as we did however long ago you were baptized into Christ. And you know what? It's fresh on the altar every day. God is ready to forgive. God is ready to wash us clean. He's not disappointed. He loves you. And often He does discipline us. He disciplines us out of His love for us. Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? That's a good question. But the next verse tells you who can understand it. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. God says, I see your heart. I see you struggling. I know you love me. I know you're trying to get things right in your life. I know what you're wrestling with right now. And I know the sins that you struggle with. And I'm not going to give up on you. You're my child. I love you. And you're precious to me. And I want you to put away the scales. I want you to stop trying to measure your walk with me based on your performance. And I want you to spend time with me. And I want your heart. I don't want your rituals. I want you. Can't you see it is all about a relationship with me? It is not about keeping all these rules. I put those rules in place to protect you from doing stupid things so you won't get hurt, like any good parent would do. Ask the Holy Spirit to soften your heart. Have you ever thought about this prayer from David in Psalm 51? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. Who can create? Can you create? You can't. I can't. God can. God specializes in creating, taking something with nothing and creating something beautiful out of it. So instead of trying really hard and trying harder, and tomorrow I'm going to really try harder to be a better Christian, why don't you just pray and ask God to create a clean heart in you? That's what you need to do. Because only He can create it. But He's not going to create it unless you ask Him. He's not going to barge in on you. God's a gentleman. He will only come if He's invited. And for all of, a lot of us in this room, we haven't really invited God fully into our lives. Oh, I'll give you my Sundays and Wednesdays. That's enough. Would you say that to your spouse? Would you say that to your girlfriend or your boyfriend? Oh, I only watch this on certain days. We need to examine our hearts, good people. Oh, we need to examine our hearts today. We cannot underline it over and over. You cannot change your heart. God can. So what should we do? What should we do to put us in a place where God can change our hearts, can set us free from addiction, can set us free from the struggles we have? As we seek God, as we obey, as we pray, as we read scriptures daily, they put us in a place where God can transform us. And that's where we build the spiritual muscle. That's where we fruit happens. But it's so simple. If I ignore going to the gym, if I ignore God's word, if I ignore prayer, I'm never going to grow. And it's really simple but profound all in the same sentence. You know, Derek, you know, he works out at the gym a lot. I mean, you obviously can see that. But what if he decided, I'm not going to work out in the gym anymore? Get flabby. And I think a lot of us are flabby in our faith. We need to see prayer and study as the gym, as where God works his transforming power in us, as we obey, as we seek him. I need to work on that. How about you? Yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I can be the biggest hypocrite ever. I want everybody to stand here. Let's all recite this together. Because this is true of all of us in this room. And I want you to say these words with your lips. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready? Say amen.
Amen.
Ready? Yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I can be the biggest hypocrite ever. I backslide, I stumble, I fall, I stray onto the wrong path. But God is working in me. I may be a mess, but I'm his mess. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm under construction, and he is slowly straightening me out. I may not be where I want to be, but by the grace of God, I'm not where I once was. Sin does not dominate my life like it once did. He who began a good work in me will bring it to completion one day. Until that time, I will trust in the finished work of the cross, depending totally on Jesus as Savior, daily surrendering my life to him as Lord, and allowing him to transform me to be like him. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. So family, let's pray as we close up today. And if you want to get on your knees today, I think it would be more than appropriate. Some of you want to get on your knees, that's fine. You don't have to. Let's pray. Father, have mercy on us. Forgive our sins and our hard hearts, our stubbornness, our unwillingness to repent, how we've quenched your spirit, God. Help us see sin as you see it, Lord. Crush our pride and our self-sufficiency. We ask your Holy Spirit to search us, to test and see if there's any offensive way in us, to see if there's any hardness of heart in the building today. Lord, please search us today. We ask that you forgive us, cleanse us from unrighteousness. Soften our hearts, make them moldable, Lord. Transform our hearts to be like your Son. Help us see prayer and study as a place you can work in us, not a time for texting or anything else, Lord. It is a time for you to work. We thank you today for the cross, for your precious Son's willingness to take our place. Father, I pray that you will help us not give up on our faith when we are struggling. Help us see you as you have revealed to us today, as a daddy who can't take his eyes off his child because he loves them so much. and who loves us so much, he's not willing to watch us sit and make mistakes continuously. He's going to help discipline us. I pray for a healthy view of you today, Lord. We thank you today that because of the cross that we are forgiven. Soften our hearts. Make us into the people that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, if you are interested in becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, this would be a wonderful day to do that, by the way. We have a baptistry over there. If you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you say, yes, in my heart I have sinned against God and I'm ready to put my trust in the finished work of the cross and I'm ready to change my ways and I'm ready to go God's way in my life now, baptism is where we begin that walk with God, your wedding day between you and the Lord. Maybe today you just need prayer. Maybe we've talked about something today that touches your heart. And listen, there's no pride in the building today. This is a hospital. We're all in the same, we're all sick. And we're going to love you and encourage you if you need prayers today. Whatever your need is, won't you come as we sing this song?
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Kim comes today and